Whenever a cycle approaches conclusion, we've been zoche to live and to embark on another season of slichus, and hopefully everything that implies and entails. It's an occasion for Shavach V'Hodah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed us, has been mezakas with another such opportunity. That feeling is magnified this year. It's the first time in 3 years that we've gathered to begin that season of Slichus together. So, Baruch Shachiyanu, Vikiyimanu, Vigiyanu. The Rambam provides us in the heading of Hilchos Tshuva with the quintessential definition of Tshuva, V'hu sheyoshev achote mecheto lifnei Hashem. The most basic meaning of Tshuva, our immediate association, is that tshuva is triggered by chet. Tshuva responds to chet. Tshuva repairs chet. In this context, when we speak of cheshbon hanefesh, cheshbon hanefesh means that we assess, we evaluate our actions against the standard of Shulchan Aruch, to see whether our actions measure up. Tshuva is chet-centric. But tshuva, without in any way looking to decentralize that dimension of tshuva, but tshuva is broader than that as well. Gemara in Yuma, it's the second source that you have in front of you. Amar b'Yonasan Gedola Tshuva Shemevias HaGeula. Tshuva is redemptive. Now, Chazal are clearly referring to the Geulas HaKlal, the redemption of the Jewish people as a whole. But there's no Geulas HaKlal without Geulas HaPrat. There can't be Geula for the Jewish people as a whole unless we individually experience Geula as Yechidim. It's actually Meduyok in the Gemara's Drasha, Shenema Uvole Tzion Goel Uleshavi Feshe B'Yakov. Matam uvolat zion goel. How is it that the Redeemer will come to Zion? Zion, the collective, the people as a whole, mishum deshave pasha b'Yakov, because the Yechidim, Loshen Rabim, all the Yechidim have experienced tshuva. What is tshuva shel geula entail? Let's perhaps approach that through the lens of the Gemara in Yuma. It's the seventh source. It appears in page 2. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Neiman Nena Shaul. Why was Shaul punished? That he lost the Malucha, that he did not bequeath the Malucha to future generations. Mipnei Shemochal Al Kvoda. The halacha is that a melech has no right to forego the honor due his position. Shaul did that. And for that reason, he was nana. Shenemar uvnev liya'al. Wicked individuals, omru, in response to Shaul's being anointed as king, ma yish'enu zev, Vayevazuhu v'lo heviu lo mincha. They refused to acknowledge Shaul. They heaped scorn upon him. Vayehi kamacharish. And Shaul was silent. The Gemara is very puzzling because we know it's explicit psukim in Shmuel Aleph that Shaul lost the melucha because he didn't fulfill his mandate to destroy Amalek. So Rashi is clearly bothered with the question. Rashi says, "Na'ana Shaul lava lide davo Shaul of nital mimenu malchus." Why was Shaul put in a position where he would fail and that would cause him to lose the Malucha? But let's perhaps explore a different approach to the Gemara. The Psukim in the approach is one which My son told me in the name of Reb Zelig Epstein, Zechon Olivacha. The Psukim in Shmuel Aleph, which recount the whole story with Shaul and Amalek, Shaul is commanded, Pasuk Gimel, Ata lech vihikisa as Amalek, vahacharamtem es kol ashelo, velosach malalav. Go and utterly destroy Amalek, vehemata, Me'isha ad isha me'olo v'ad yonik mishor v'ad sem migomo v'ad chamor. Utter, complete destruction. What in fact happens? In Pasuk Tes, v'yachmol sho'ul v'ho'om al ha'gog v'al metav ha'tzon v'ha'boko v'ha'mishnim v'al ha'koyim v'al kol ha'tov v'lo ovu ha'chavimam. Sho'ul and the people do not follow the command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as relayed by Shmuel HaNavi. And yet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayavo Shmuel al Shaul, Vayomel al Shaul, Baruch Ato al Hashem, Hakimosi is Dvar Hashem. Shaul, the Mashiach Hashem, is not a liar. Not a liar. Certainly not a brazen liar. So on the one hand, he clearly disobeyed. And on the other hand, he goes and greets Shmuel. Baruch Hashem. Hakimosi es dvar Hashem. When Shmuel challenges him, Umeh pasuk yedalit, Umeh kol hatzon hazeh ba'oznai v'kol ha'boka ashani asher anochi shomea. What are all these sounds that I hear? So Shaul is still sticking to his guns. We know that because in Pasuk Chof, Vayom Shaul Ashmol Asher Shamati B'Kol Hashem, Va'Elech Badach Asher Shlachani Hashem. Like he's caught seemingly with his hand in the cookie jar, and Shaul still insists, "No, Shamati B'Kol Hashem, Va'Elech Badach Asher Shlachani Hashem." So what was it? So clearly, in Pasuk Tezvav, Shaul is offering a defense. So what's the defense? Me Amalek yehevium, asher chom al ha'om, al meitav hatzon v'habokul l'man zvach l'Hashem Elokecha. So Zelig explained as follows. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, Shmuel rebukes Shaul and tells him as follows: "Vayomer Shmuel, Halom katan ata veinecha, rosh shifta Yisrael ata, vayimshachacha Hashem lemelech al Yisrael." How is the rebuke relevant to the sin? I don't know. Whatever Shaul's chait was, misplaced mercy. But what's it got to do with Halom Katon Ata Beinecha? You're a humble, self-effacing person, but you're the king. Rosh Shifta Yisrael Ata. So Shmuel understood what had happened. ultimately, Shaul comes to that recognition as well. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vayomer Shaul Shmo Chatasi Ki Avati Es Pi Hashem VeEzvarecha Ki Yareisi Asa'on VaEshma BaKolam. Shaul didn't think he had the strength to impose his will, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the people. The people didn't want to utterly destroy Amalek. Shaul didn't think that he could bring them in line. When Shaul greets Shmuel and says, Hakimosi is Var Hashem, he thinks so. He thinks, to the best of my ability, to the maximum that was possible, Hakimosi is Var Hashem. And what does Shmuel tell him? No, Haloam Katan Ata Be'enecha, Lo Shifte Yisal Ata. In this sense, Reb Zelig said, we understand so beautifully the Gemara in Yuma, Mipnei Ma Nen Nashol Mipnei Shemocha Al Kvodo, it's the same Midah. The same Midah that when upon his ascension to the throne, when there were people who heaped scorn on him, so there too, Shaul didn't feel that he had the ability to be assertive, to respond the way a Melech Yisrael was obligated to respond under those conditions. And it was that same Midah that was his undoing in the encounter with Amalek. Adkan Devarav. Or in other words, Shaul's chait consisted, the suas, the root of his chait, was that Shaul underestimated himself. Haloam katon ata ve'enecha. When a person underestimates himself, herself, when a person underestimates his or her ability to do, to accomplish, to prevail, so Rachmanu Litzlan, this can tragically result in chayt. And we're accountable for such chatoim. We're obligated to know our potential and not to underestimate ourselves. We asked, what does a tshuva shel geula involve? What does it mean? If you go back to the first page, sources Gimel, in the beginning of source Dalet, the Ramban's famous introductory remarks to Sefer Shmos, V'nisyafet Sefer ve'ele Shmos be'inyan ha'golos sarishon ha'nigzar u'be'geula mimenu. The thematic unity, each of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah for the Ramban has thematic unity. The thematic unity of Sefer Shmos, it's the story of Golos and Geula. Exile and redemption. V'lachein chaza v'hischil b'shmos yodei mitzrayim u'misparim afal pi shekvar nichtav zeh bavo ki yiridosam shom hu reishas ha'golus. The Torah begins with the shvatim coming down to Mitzrayim, which is the inception of golus. V'hine ha'golus einenu nishlam. Golus has not been fully terminated. Ad yom shuvam el makomam. That there's an underlying assumption that what their ancestors accomplished, they too can accomplish. The spiritual station that their ancestors were on is one that's accessible to them. Golus means returning, but notice, really, it's returning. The Ramban doesn't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's returning to themselves. Da'alecha, writes the Maharal, ki ha'tshuva hi lo'odom mitzad ki ha'odom nivra b'haskaloso b'lo chet. V'kasha hu shav al Hashem Yisbarach, oz ha'odom choza al haskaloso. So the second meaning of tshuva, complementing or expanding upon the first meaning, is tshuva not in the sense of pulling back from chet, sheyoshuv mecheto, not tshuva in that sense of recoiling, pulling back from chet, but tshuva in returning to oneself, returning to one true self. And what that involves is not only leaving chet behind, but it also involves a process of discovery or rediscovery of one's potential, one's abilities, one's kochos hanefesh. But let's try to broaden and deepen our understanding of tshuva shel geula. If you take a look at the top of page 2, Suos Vav, the Omer of Yehuda man abirei lev, who are example of arrogant or stout-hearted people, guvoi tipshoi, the foolish guvoi, name of a certain population. Omer of Yosef teida, where does one see that quality of callousness, of spiritual insensitivity manifest? Toho lo igaya giyor minayhu. There's not a single ger has emerged from their ranks. It's a people who have not produced a single ger. Amar Rashi, b'nei mosa mechasya abirei lev ninhu. The locals in the town, the city of Machasya, they're also abirei lev. They too are spiritually callous, insensitive. In Tishrei and in Nisan happens in Machasya. They see the honor of Torah, Trezimne Beshata, twice annually, year in, year out, and here too, v'lokom megaya giyorim inayhu, and not a single ger has emerged from their ranks. Now, there is no chiyuv for a Gentile to convert. A Gentile who lives his life and never born a Gentile, lives a Gentile, dies a Gentile, is not guilty of anything. Not guilty of anything. He's going to be held accountable for Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. He's not required to be Misgaya. And yet, Rav Yehuda, Rav Ashi, harshly criticize for not doing so. The understanding is clear. It may not be a chait, but what a waste for a person to have such potential, to have been able to elevate one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to squander that potential, to live a life and not tap into that potential. And notice how precise the wording of the Gemara is. Guvai tipshai. He doesn't say they're Rishoyim. No, Rasha would imply chait. No, you can't indict them for any chait, but such tipshus, such foolishness, what a waste. On the bottom of page 1, source hey. Vayavo Hashem al ponov vayikra. Amr Rabbi Yochanan ilmoleg mikra kasuv yefshar la'omer. This is the source for our slichus, of course. Melamed shenasativ HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur v'heralo l'moshe seder tefila. Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu projected an image before Moshe Rabbeinu of a shliach tzibur and showed him what the centerpiece of slichos is. Amalo kozman shiyisrael chotim yasu l'fanai k'seder hazeh. This is how to approach me, v'ani mochel lahem. Hashem, Hashem, anihu kodem sheyachta ha'adam, v'anihu la'acha sheyachta ha'adam, v'yaseh tshuva. The two names, Hashem, Hashem, is not repetitious. The first one refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relating to a person, Kodem Sheyachta, the second, La'acha Sheyachta. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos quotes, in terms of identifying within the pasuk of Hashem, Hashem, which are the Yud Gimel, Midas HaRachamim. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Shnei Shemos HaRishonim, Hem Shnei Midas. The two Hashems, Hashem, Hashem, should be counted separately as midos, kedamin and hocha, and that's what the Gemara is explicating, is elaborating. Ani Hashem kodem sheyachta l'rachem alav, v'ani merachem la'acha sheyachta am yoshuv. Hashem midas rachemim hu. I extend my divine mercy to the person kodem sheyachta, and I extend it afterwards as well. But why does the person need a midas harachmanas kodem sheyachta? La'acha sheyachta, we understand. After the person has sinned, so midas hadin, a strict attribute of justice, would not allow for him to do tshuva. And if it allowed for him to do tshuva, it would demand immediate, instantaneous tshuva. There wouldn't be a midah harachapayim. But what's the need for Midas HaRachmanos Kodem Tshuva? There are many different answers. They're not mutually exclusive to this Gemara, but one that I heard from my father, Zichron Levracha, he suggested that the Ani Hashem Kodem Sheyachta refers to what we're talking about, potential. Could be that a person hasn't sinned, but it doesn't mean that all is right and all is well with him. Kodem Sheyachta as well, there may not be chait on the horizon, but is the individual tapping into his or her potential? Is the individual fulfilling the God-given potential? Maximizing the kochos hanefesh, amidas harachmonos is needed kodem hachet also, not only la'acha hachet. The tshuva shel geula which involves returning to oneself, discovery, rediscovery of one's potential, is not exclusively chait-centric. In this vein, the cheshbon hanefesh consists not only of measuring ourselves against our actions against the Shulchan Aruch, but of measuring it against ourselves. There is a tradition, it's alluded to in many sources. One of them is the last source you have here, source Yud in page 3. What's pshat that when we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling out to Avram, Avram, or Yaakov, Yaakov, or Moshe, Moshe. Why mention the name twice? So Reb Chaim Vital, whom the Nefesh HaChaim is quoting, already explains that everyone has two images. There's a celestial image which reflects the person's neshama. That's one image. That's one identity every one of us has. And then there's a second terrestrial image which reflects who the person is here in this world. What the person does, how the person lives. The Gemara in Chulin, Rashi quotes that Hine Malach Elokim Olim V'Yordim Bo. So the Gemara says that the Malachim were all led to look the Dmos Dyukno Shalmaila. They looked at Yaakov Avinu's celestial image, the image projected by the Neshama Tahora, reflecting its full kochos, its full capacities. And then they were yoredim, and they were comparing it to his earthly image, to who Yaakov Avinu actually was. And this is true in all areas. It's true ben odom l'chaveru, ben odom l'atzma, ben odom l'mokom. At times, underestimating ourselves, as in the case of Shaul, results in actual chait. And at other times, it's not chait. But there's not that much solace in that. It's just squandered potential. It could very well be that in our interpersonal relationships, we behave acceptably. We behave adequately. And it could be that we would want to be better, but we don't see that we have the capacity or the potential. I would want to be a better child, a better spouse, a better parent, a better sibling, a better friend, a better teacher. But I can't be what I'm not. We set all kinds of glass ceilings. We impose all kinds of constraints. And then we're limited and we're restrained by those erroneous self-assessments. I would really want to improve my midos more. I would really want to improve my character, accomplish more in the realm of tikkun midos. I am who I am. I'm too old to change. And often, with the same misplaced sincerity of Shaul HaMelech, we're sincere about that. It's not intended as an excuse. We genuinely, erroneously believe that. Ben Adam LaMokom, what I would give to be able to daven a whole Shemoneh Esrei with Kavanah. But in our generation, how many people are capable of that? Maybe a few yechidim, a few individuals. I don't belong to that elite group. I would want to learn more. I wasn't blessed with abilities in that area. Tshuva shel Geula when we return to ourselves, recognizes those glass ceilings for what they are, it breaks them. It removes the self-imposed restraints. Now, obviously, I don't mean to suggest that each and every one of us is capable of anything and everything. We all have our kochos. There are things we can do, and there are things we can't do, obviously. But too often, that truth notwithstanding, we underestimate ourselves, and we confuse what's possible with what's comfortable, and what's attainable with what's easy. I've been thinking about this theme for a while now, and coincidentally or providentially, take your choice, I was speaking with a Talmud this week, a very wonderful young man, idealistic young man, who before coming to yeshiva served in Sahal as a chayal bodet. So we were talking a little bit about his experiences, and he said one of the things that carries over now to his post-army civilian life is that the mantra in the army was that Hakol Barosh. They would be challenged to do things which they thought were physically impossible. To hike all night with carrying a load of 80 pounds or something, which they thought was physically impossible. To arrange themselves in a certain arrangement in at the blink of an eye. In what seemed to be not doable. And in the training, they were told time and time again, Hakol Barosh, Hakol Barosh. Okay, so maybe it needs to be modified to Harvei Barosh. Maybe it's not literally Hakol Barosh. Maybe that was a kiyum of Dibra Torah B'Lashon Havai. But it's certainly true. In one of his drushes, my grandfather Zechon Levracha quotes the following story from the Tana Dvei Eliyahu. Pam achas payisi mahalech mimakom lemakom umetzaani odam echad shavahoye velo mikra velo mishna vahoye mislotze tu malik vidvarim ubar kenegdi vamatilo b'ni.
I was once walking and I encountered an individual who hadn't learned any Torah.
And I said to him, my son, what are you going to answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you going to answer your father in heaven, Yom HaDin? Amalei, Rabbi, yesh li dvarim shani meshiva. I have a response. Bina vadas lo nasnu li min hashamayim she'ekra ve'eshna. I wasn't given the ability. Tama? Va'amati lo b'ni, ma malachtucha? What do you do for a living? Va'amali tzayirani. I'm a trapper, a hunter, a trapper. Va'amati lo, mi limedcha she'tavi pishtan uta argehu mitzudas? V'tashlichehu layam v'tal hadogim en ayam. So who taught you how to make the nets and how to cast it into the ocean and then to pull in the fish? V'amali Rebbe, b'zeh nasnuli bina v'das min hashamayim. No, I was given understanding. I was given resourcefulness. V'amarti lo, if for that you were endowed with ability,
Torah, There's a famous interpretation from, I think it's from Abitzel of Aloshana, the Gemara in Bava Basra says that Moshe Rabbeinu resembled the sun, Pnei Chama, Yehoshua ben Nun was Pnei Levana, and when Yehoshua succeeded Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zakenim Shabbador, who were Yehoshua ben Nun's, more or less his contemporaries, reacted, oy lala osa busha, oy lala osa cherpa. It's, what an embarrassment. The Bitzla explains as follows. The busha wasn't that Kal Yisrael was now being led by a person of lesser stature than Moshe Rabbeinu. Mokom Navi B'Yisrael Od Kemoshe. There couldn't be another Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the busha? What was the charta? The Zkenim Shabbadu, we had the same opportunity as Yehoshua ben Nun. We had the same opportunity. And yet look, he's a Levana, he's a moon who reflects the light of the sun, and what are we? Were they guilty of Bittul Torah? Not necessarily. But they didn't recognize the potential. And because of that, they didn't maximize their potential. One more Dvar Agada. If you take a look on page 3, source test. Shoal Acher is Rabbi Meir, the Acher Sheyotzel the Tarbus Ro'a. The Gemara recounts a dialogue between Rabbi Meir and his Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, who, after drifting to heresy, is known as Acher. Let's jump in on line 4. Talmud Chochem, Afu Pi Shasarach Yesho Takona. Talmud Chochem, even if he sins, can rectify the sin. He can rectify himself. Amalo afato chazor b'cha. You too, Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, do tshuva. Amalo kvosha mati me'achori ha'pargot. No, I heard a heavenly basko. Shuvu vanim shavavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends his hand, an invitation to tshuva, to all, with one exception, chutz me'acher. He was riding a horse on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir was on foot and was learning Torah. I've been tracking how far we've gone. We've reached the Tchum. You can't go any further. So go back. So Amalei, so Meir says to Acher, Afatocha Zobacha. You also go back. Amalei, Kvaramati Lacha. I told you. I can't. Kvashamati Me'achori HaParagod, Shuvu Vanim Shavavim Chutz Me'acher. The Yerushalmi underneath adds one detail, and there's one difference from the Bavli. The detail is, Amalei lesane yochil, again, Acher says, I can't. Amalei lama, Amalei shepam, Acher sayisi ove lifnei beis kodesh hakadoshim bochev al susi b'yom ha-kipurim shecholios b'shabbos. It wasn't stam a Shabbos, and it wasn't stam out for a ride, but he was going behind the kodesh hakadoshim on Yom Kippur Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, the most concentrated Kedusha imaginable. Yom Kippur Shechol Yos B'Shabbos in proximity to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'shamati bas kol yotza mibeis kodesh hakodashim v'omer shuvu v'onim shavavim chutz me'elisha ben avuya. And I heard that bas kol. And the bas kol said, no, all the wayward sons are invited to do tshuva with the exception of Elisha ben Avuya. So in the Yerushalmi's version, the bas kol doesn't say Acher. The bas kol says Elisha ben Avuya. So my grandfather Zichron Levracha, in one of the drushes that's printed, says a pshat nifla ma'od. There's no reason to think that Acher was like Paro, was like Sichon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Noel Dalsei HaTshuva. It's inconceivable that Acher was deprived of the right to do tshuva. What happened? So what's the pshat? What the bas kol actually said, there was a bas kol. The bas kol said, "Shuv uvanim shavavim chutz me'acher." As long as you adhere to this false, superimposed identity of acher, you won't be able to do tshuva. But if you'll shed that false identity, you'll be the real you. You'll be Elisha ben Avuya, so then you can do tshuva. Acher translated the bas kol the way the Yerushalmi presents it. The bas kol actually said, chutz me'acher, the way you are now, there's no possibility of tshuva. But if you'll return to yourself, you can do tshuva. And he, tragically, misunderstood that bas kol as not rejecting Acher, but as rejecting Elisha ben Avuya. So the native Yiddish speakers will forgive my accent, please. I'll read you a couple of lines from the original. Iveis favos hat Elisha ben Avuya moed given in Bore Olam. You know why Elisha ben Avuya rebelled against the Rebbe Shalom? Trotz dem was is given as I grace in Torah. Despite the fact that he was so great in Torah. Weil der Tan hat nicht verstanden sein eigenem Korach. Because the Tana, the Heilige Tana, Elisha ben Avuya, didn't understand his own eigenem Korach. Lo yoda es kocho umorad ba'atzmo. He first rebelled against himself. Die eigene Ich Unwissenheit, his own self-ignorance, und selbst, misrepresentation, it's a crack name in Yiddish, and the self-misrepresentation, hovim goyim given dem tragischen chet, caused the tragic chet. Elul is a time for a person to believe in himself, herself, first and foremost, in the ability to do tshuva. And beyond that, to have expanded horizons of what a person can do and what a person can accomplish. There is a third meaning of tshuva. There's tshuva min ha-chet, withdrawing, pulling back from chet. There's tshuva el atzmo, a person returning to himself. And of course, the shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, shuvu elai. But in truth, Number two and number three, when a person returns to himself and when a person returns to the Ribbono Shel Olam, a really hainuhach, we'll come just, we'll give the Maharal the last word. If you come in Os Dalit again, on page one, the second excerpt from the Sira Tshuva, V'yesh l'chol adas inyan ha-tshuva shuhushav al Hashem Yisbarach. You should understand the substance of tshuva, that a person returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mesalik atzmo min ha-chet. Ha-tshuva hazos yi-efser rak kasher yesh lo ha-pshitos min ha-chet legamrei. V'zeh sho'amar gedol ha-tshuva shemagas ha-kisei ha-kovod. The same Gemara in Yuma also depicts tshuva that it reaches Kaviyocho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, ki misham haschalas hahava yamin ha'adam. Because that's where our neshamas come from. When a person returns to his or her true self, when a person begins by recognizing his or her true abilities, doesn't sell himself, herself short, recognizes what the neshama tahora shenasatavi is capable of in our ben adam lachavero, ben adam laatzma, ben adam lamakom. A person realizes that. A person acts on it. A person is shavel Hashem.